The Rick Smith Show.com. So the New York Times reported recently that Donald Trump is considering pardoning a number of soldiers who are accused of what's being reported is really heinous war crimes. And now they haven't been convicted, and I'm not saying that they're war criminals, but the fact that this administration would pardon them without having the hearing, without doing any of that, is really concerning to me. And it sends to me kind of really the wrong message, especially as we're on the brink of war with Iran. I mean, it's this mentality that, you know, war is hell, and we're just gonna officially end 80 million people. It's scary stuff. And here to share some thoughts on, well, should the pardons happen? Is this good policy, bad policy? Good for the military, not good for the military? I've asked our good friend Red T. Raccoon to come talk with us. He is one of my favorite Twitter commentators, but also a disabled veteran and advocate for veterans all over the country. Red, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So have you seen this story of Trump considering pardoning these folks?
I have, and I mean, it's a pattern that we're seeing. He previously pardoned another soldier that was accused of heinous crimes also, but now, again, he has seems a list of them that he's looking at pardoning coming up for Memorial Day. But yeah, it's something I've been paying close attention to, and it's something I'm really passionate about because it's the easiest way to jeopardize the safety of our soldiers overseas. And to be honest, to jeopardize Americans. Here in our own country.
How so? Explain how.
And so things like this, and so the two pieces to it. So the first thing, as far as the American soldier is concerned, we follow rule of war in order to protect ourselves. It's something so we expect, you know, our enemies to treat our soldiers as non-combatants when they're going and taking prisoner.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Red. War's hell.
And I've lived through it. And it's to a point, there's certain situations where an enemy combatant is no longer a combatant. And the situation with Edward Gallagher is, this is a recent event. This isn't something that took place, you know, a decade ago. This is something that took place in 2017, where there was a 16-year-old ISIS soldier who was being treated by a medic. And allegedly, Gallagher goes and stabs this boy in the neck. Not a situation where, again, he was engaged in a firefight with this child, to be honest. Even though, again, he is an ISIS fighter, this is a situation where it was just cold-blooded murder, if it turns out to be the case. And the situation we're dealing with him is he hasn't even been to trial yet. His trial is set to go and start on the 28th of this month.
Right.
So, again, we haven't seen the evidence. We don't know what's going on. And we're already at the point where Trump is basically influencing this trial before it even began.
So before I cut you off, you were saying that this could harm our soldiers and how our enemies, when they capture our soldiers, how they're treated. And I agree wholeheartedly with you. I look, if someone was injured and someone else's medic was taking care of one of our soldiers, I wouldn't want one of their people to behead them or to stab them or any of that either. But exactly. The sad reality is, in a lot of cases, they do. But I still think we should be taking the high ground.
Exactly. And that's what we do as Americans. And I know it's this fairy tale of, you know, who we are. But again, we should be doing the right thing when it comes down to it. And to be honest, I mean, I would never be taken alive. And I've been in those situations where, again, it could go sideways really quickly. And I could have been in a situation where, you know, I'm alone. And to be honest, I mean, I don't think I could have gone through with that. But we think about other things. So we, the attack in Niger, when we talk about the soldier that we don't really know what happened to him when he was surrounded by ISIS, these are situations that enrage us. And in order to go and prevent him, we need to go and make sure that we're doing the right thing on the battlefield. And I mentioned the American citizens. This is propaganda that gets used by terrorist organizations. Look what Americans do. Look what the American soldier does. And that gets spread throughout the region, and it breeds more terrorism.
No, I agree, and it's one of those things that you, if we're going to be the shining city, if we're going to be the example for the world, maybe we should do that. Now there are those who are saying, look, you know, we sent these people into battle, they made mistakes. Hey, you know, it's a split second decision. You know, they should be forgiven.
No, and these aren't mistakes. I looked at what he's being accused of as far as Gallagher is concerned. This is a situation where he had full control over his actions. This is him as a sniper from a tower going and shooting innocent civilians. This is someone who's hunting, who is not being a soldier. This is somebody who probably went to the country looking to go and murder individuals. And I hate to say that I've seen some really bad people within the military itself, but it's true. Within any large population, you're going to have bad apples. And there's some people that go and seek out these professions with ulterior motives that are looking for something more sinister than defending our country.
Right. Now, what do you say to the person who goes, you know, the message that Trump is sending is bad for the military because maybe more of these bad actors will feel emboldened to do this more often and that this is this could ultimately be something horribly destructive?
It could be, because what it goes against is like chain of command. And so I was in Iraq in 2006 and 2007. When we go out into the field outside the wire, there's very limited control as far as the higher-ups are concerned or your chain of command is concerned. It was a platoon leader who was 26 years old who was leading us. And whatever happens out there basically happens out there. You expect your soldiers to go and follow commands, follow the rules and regulations, the UCMJ, follow the Geneva Convention. In order for us to go and, again, be on the right side of these situations. Because what inevitably happens is these events go and cause a war to go and fester, and it causes a lot of issues. And I think, again, we talk about our presence in Iraq and how long it's been. This is what goes and creates terrorist organizations in the first place, is events like these.
So ultimately, you know, just one idiot doing something stupid could, you know, ultimately be something used to recruit, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of other people to that would want to hunt American soldiers. So that's what you're saying. It's making things much, much less safe.
Exactly. Yep. And I mean, even just looking back at Vietnam, some of the events that took place in Vietnam are horrendous. And I mean, it changed the whole entire view of that war for generations. These have really lasting, impactful things on the American psyche. I can't believe we're even talking about it today because, again, these things should not have happened in the first place. Again, they do when wars break out. We unleash the worst in humanity. But, again, we are a society that's focused on justice, and these men should go and face justice. One of the examples is a Blackwater contractor, as far as the pardon is concerned. He committed a straight massacre. That happened directly after I left country, but I've seen the videotapes. There's witness accounts of everything. There is no logical reason why you would pardon this individual for what he did. And he wasn't a soldier at the time of the crimes that he committed in Baghdad. It's amazing why Trump would go to these measures in order to protect individuals that are clearly wrong.
Yeah, it's one of those things that there's part of me that looks at it and says, you know, this is messaging for the it's red meat for the base, because these are people who have demonized, you know every all of the others, and if there's someone who's killing the others, then they're heroes, and it's very cut and dry. There are no rules, there are no regulations, because you know when I was talking about this with someone, you know, it just came up, you know, hey, war is hell, that happens, you know, it happens, and yeah. You know, then they throw it back, well, what would you do? And look, I'll tell you, I'll do anything I have to do to keep myself alive if in that situation. But I think, as you've pointed out, in some of these other situations, it's a bit beyond, it's well beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. These are people who are killing prisoners. These are people who are killing innocent civilians, not in the fog of war, not in a situation where their lives are in immediate danger and you don't know who you're firing at. This is someone from a guard tower watching four little girls walk down a path and shoots one of them. This is an individual that is sitting in the guard tower watching an old man carry water and shoot him. The same individual who supposedly stabbed a prisoner. It's these things are lining up, and there's a pattern at least associated with this individual, Gallagher, that we need to go and investigate. We need to find out exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you go back and you think of some of the atrocities of the past, and, you know, whenever you think of Vietnam, obviously, Kelly and My Lai and the cover-up, you know, with Powell and all of that stuff, and you go, you know, we're better than that, and at least, you know, you hope so.
You do, and then going into a situation, again, where we're going to put our soldiers in clear and present danger in Iran, we want to make sure that, again, we're in good standings as far as the globe is concerned.
No, excellent point, because I was going to ask you about, you know, with all of the drums being beaten, the saddle, the sabers being rattled, and all of the, you know, we're going to end Iran rhetoric, you know, this seems opportunistic in saying, you know, look, you know, there's no depths to which we won't go. It seems like interesting timing to me.
It is, and I was thinking that myself. I don't know if the message is for the American public or if the message is actually for Iran, but kind of the way that you mentioned that right there. It's, oh, you know, Americans will do anything. You know, don't cross us and we'll go and, you know, basically murder you on the battlefield.
Yeah, it's like when I got the emails of evidently they claimed there was a soldier. I think it may have been Eisenhower that they were claiming murdered a bunch of Muslims and then covered them in an open grave with pig's blood. I don't know if you've ever seen that email.
I've heard that. Like, and that's been going around for years and years and years. But it's funny because it's actually, you know, being in Iraq and the Iranian-Iraq war was something that was just such embedded in that culture. You would hear stories of Iran, and Iran usually talks this really big game. We would hear that, you know, the women would lay themselves across the barbed wire fences so the men can march across their backs into the battlefield. These things was something that Iran would go and kind of send out there as far as propaganda goes, and it's kind of sad to hear that our president is almost trying to do something similar with these kind of situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening, and the reality is as we're rattling the sabers, I keep asking the question, one, what do we gain from a war with Iran, and two, are we as Americans ready for the sacrifice and you know, the march of the coffins that will come back? Because unlike Iraq, as I'm told, and look, I'm not a military expert by any stretch of the imagination, but as I'm told, Iran still has planes that fly and guns that fire.
Yeah, exactly. And so Iran is much, much larger than Iraq. Iraq is a lot of flat plains, a lot of desert. Iran is mountains. You have a lot larger population. And then people forget about Iraq. They were under sanctions forever. And there was basically a no-fly zone over half the country. You know, we basically took out their whole entire aircraft defenses. That's not Iran right now. It's a lot more serious of a situation. And then the numbers that are kind of getting thrown around as far as, you know, ground troops that Trump may or may not have mentioned, those are matching the initial invasion forces as far as Iraq is concerned. That's ludicrous.
Yeah, 120,000 was the number they threw out. And, you know, when you have a standing military somewhere around 600,000, as I understand it, maybe you have different numbers, and a reserve, I guess when you throw the reserves in, we're over, well, a little over a million. When you start looking at 120,000 initial, you know, what's the rotation look like, and how many people do we end up killing? How many people end up injured, and how many people end up broken?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's home turf advantage too. We learned the hard way that you just don't go into a country and you go and invade it and then expect the war to be over.
Yeah, I think the British learned, as did the Russians, and I think we've learned in Afghanistan as well, that the home field, especially in those places, kind of important.
Exactly, and the beauty of what's happening to us right now is Russia is loving it. They know firsthand exactly Afghanistan, what happened to them. The longer we get bogged down in these wars, and the longer we go and start, you know, spending our treasure and blood in these fields for absolutely nothing, the stronger and stronger they get propped up. And I mean, it's obvious that the world is not on our side in regards to this. There's not going to be a coalition. There's not going to be this great group of countries that come to our aid if we don't start getting in trouble as far as the situation goes. And if it goes bad enough, I hate to say it, you might start pushing people in the direction as far as supporting Iran, it's crazy to say, but if you become that much of an aggressor, what is the world going to say to us?
Yeah, I mean, look at our greatest ally in Europe. You know, they're still in the nuclear deal. They're still doing tons of business with Iran. I mean, as you pointed out, the sanctions on Iraq. You know, the world basically coalesced around the idea of allowing the sanctions. I don't know that that happens. Again, I don't know that we have the leverage, and there won't be a coalition of the willing. We'll literally be doing it alone.
Yeah, no, the fool me once has already happened. We've already done that with Iraq. The fool me twice is not going to happen this time.
Yeah. And look, you mentioned the Russians there a second ago. You forgot the Chinese. And, you know, there was a story over the last couple of weeks of this billionaire, Jack Ma, who said, look, the U.S. wasted trillions of dollars on wars. They could have been rebuilding their infrastructure. They could have been building their economy. But instead, they decided to blow stuff up.
Exactly. Yeah, no, these wars are not cheap. And then what we see afterwards is the lasting effect. The VA isn't one of the largest government agencies or the largest government agency for no reason. These events have long-term impact for generations to come that we're going to be paying for.
Yeah.
You know, again, these are very serious things that we need to go and take seriously and have serious conversations in regards to, and not allow. I think what I'm really afraid of is a real simple mistake or an intentional mistake happening in the Persian Gulf and it leading to a full-out war.
Well, no, look, there was just recently, you know, the Saudis are saying one of their oil tankers was bombed, and the blame was being pointed at the Iranians. It just takes something simple like that. You know, and how many proxies do the Iranians have, you know, throughout the Middle East? To set it up to where anybody associated with Iran, if they do anything ever, and we're going to bomb them, you know, it just seems like... You know, look, we know John Bolton wants a war. We know that's his fetish. He's said it for years. It just seems that they're setting the table for any excuse. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. And we forget the fact that everybody and their brother is within close proximity in Syria. I mean, there's already engagements happening right now. All it takes is just a real quick escalation and that's it. It's over.
Let me ask you a last line of questioning, because you know you have served in the military. You've been injured in war. You're a disabled veteran. You know, what does this mean? Because I don't think we often talk about what it means for the people who are left behind after it's all over. I mean, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, in the aftermath of Vietnam, seeing those men, you know, dropped back into our, or I shouldn't say dropped, dumped back into the housing project where I grew up. With horrible drug and alcohol problems, broken minds and broken bodies, only to be left like trash. You know, what's it mean for those left behind?
I mean, I hate to say it, it takes generations to even pick up the pieces as far as that goes, because I'm working with a lot of Vietnam veterans right now in regards to different bills, one of them being the Blue Water Bill that deals with the runoff as far as Agent Orange is concerned. But... yeah, there's this lasting impact. And as a society, we always like to talk about, you know, supporting the veterans and making sure we take care of veterans. There's a lot more to that. There's a lot of dealing with passing legislation, making sure that we do fund the VA, making sure that we have programs in place, both through the government and through nonprofits that go and assist veterans. Veteran suicide is another thing. I mean, there's the wounds of war, you know. It's interesting, the wars that I was involved with as far as Iraq is concerned, is that you had two very different injuries that were visible from different ways. So you had a lot of blast injuries where people had amputations, where, again, that's something very visible, something right. You can see. And then you have, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, which, you know, may not even present itself for years afterwards. I mean, all these things happen to a generation of men and women that, you know, again, are some of the greatest and finest. We're seeing it when we had the wave come through as far as the House was concerned. A lot of veterans, you know, stepped up and were kind of speaking out and started serving their country in a different way. And I think that's the positive that we need to go and take from this, too, is that there's a lot of veterans who have seen the worst of humanity, have kind of came through to the other side, and their perspective is really important. I think we need to listen to them as far as, you know, hopefully not the next few months, you know, as we inch closer and closer to a real unstable situation in the Middle East. But we do need to listen to them and make sure that we're heeding the warning that they give, because I think a lot of us veterans, we are the ones that are most conscious about going and committing ourselves to war, because we've seen it firsthand. And we've seen the devastation that it causes in countries to civilians who have no choice but to, you know, it's just where they live. And, you know, war comes to them. And I always talk about this. I love the people of Iraq. I would never want to see another war come in their direction for no reason at all.
Yeah, and, you know, if you want to protect the soldiers, if you want to make sure the troops get the care that they need, how about making sure that they don't need it at all by not starting these frivolous wars? Just my thought. But, Red, I appreciate the time. Always great talk with you, and look forward to talking to you again, because I'm sure this is not going away.
No, thank you. I appreciate it, Rick.
Good stuff. Thanks. Our good friend Red T. Raccoon. Make sure you follow him at on Twitter. Some of the best commentary on the web. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. 7 years and I'll go to work at night. I got no time for living. Yes, I'm working on.